When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Hey, it's me, Jersey, and it's time for your Thunder Punch Daily, the show I record not so daily, sharing a few thoughts from the mind of a cartoonist. Maybe more than a few thoughts this time, because something's got my dander up. No, I promise I'm not going to do any whining, but I got something to report on and respond to that I think is an awful shame, and I think it's something that is worth highlighting. See, you know, quick sidebar, I really don't care to fight with people. I've talked about this before. I really don't like fighting with people unless it's in the form of a debate, and only if I think that the outcome is really going to get us someplace. And I certainly don't like to pick on people. Sometimes I find myself doing that, but I don't like to highlight somebody of saying this type of person is an idiot and we should, you know, dishonor them or any of that kind of nonsense. I just don't think that's very productive. And what's more is that's just link bait kind of stuff, getting people to rally around you just for a quick little flare up of activity, and then it eventually goes away. But John David Guerra of NightmareProWrestling.com linked on Twitter to an article by Shannon Garrity. And the title of the article, let me pull it up, is 10 Things to Know About the Future of Comics. I'm sure many of you have read this. And I'm not going to respond to this thing point by point. But the general idea of the article is that the times are changing. Wow, what a blockbuster idea. Yeah, the times are always changing. I'm not making fun of Shannon here. I'm making fun of the notion of us getting upset about this thing. Of course the times are changing. They're always changing, and demographics are changing. And you know what? I couldn't be happier about that. Not because I want group A to die off so that group B can take its place, but I'm glad that the culture of comics is becoming enriched. There's my editorializing before I even go into what the article was about. So the article was essentially about like 10 little like mini sub points about how there's more girls involved in comics. These girls, a lot of them grew up reading manga, which means that their tastes and their sensibilities and their pardon me, approach vectors into storytelling is totally different than what was traditionally going on here in North America 20 years ago. And well, I read the article and I was going, yep, that's true. I agree with that. I see that going on too. Man, it caused some stir. It caused some arguments and some dust-ups amongst people, because always what happens whenever you say something like this is that another group comes in and says, so what, you're trying to replace me? That's a shame that people feel that way, that people feel so, you know, I'm reminded of something Ryan Estrada of RyanEstrada.com said to me once, and I've said it multiple times because I think it was a very wise thing. He said that everybody feels like they have to defend their position on why they like what they like. I get that. But when somebody says that the times are changing, instead of saying, wow, really? Isn't that interesting? Let's find out what this means for me. People take it to mean that she's actually predicting something that if we take her word seriously, it may come true and we will all die. You know, she's somehow by saying these words, it's going to start a movement that hasn't happened yet, that is going to ultimately wash all of us old dinosaurs away. I've got a related point on this in regards to talking about genres, but I'll get to that in a second. And the thing is that I teach a lot of teenagers. I'm teaching in high schools all the time nowadays, and man, I've seen it. I got into a discussion on Twitter with a couple people about this a few days ago. And I was working with my students in class. We were studying style. Artistic styles. And I was just putting up examples on the board and asking the kids to respond to it and then engage them in a discussion and an investigation of why they say what they say. So when I put this page up, they go, oh, I don't like that. Well, tell me why. Let's look at what it is about the art style that you don't like. Oh, I like this one. Well, what is about the art style you do like? So beginning an investigation into how style communicates intended audience, how style communicates tonal messages in the story, all that stuff that we already know, right? But the interesting thing was, is I put up a page of my own work, and it was from an upcoming project I got called Rise Kraken. I've shown off some of the pages. I think if you go to risekraken.com, some of the sample pages are still up. You can see what it looks like. And I didn't tell them it was mine. I just put the page up, knowing that the kids didn't know it was mine. And these 17-year-old kids said, oh, wow, that one's really great. And they highlighted that they liked the clean lines, they liked the acting on the characters' faces, they loved the amount of detail that was going on with all the machinery that I had on there. And then I put up a similar page by Walt Simonson. Now, you guys know I love Walt Simonson's work. I consider him a big influence on my work in a lot of important ways. And the kids looked at it and they went, huh? Oh. They started out with anticipating liking it when they saw the clarity of the compositions and the great paneling going on and the amount of detail and the energy. They all loved it. But I asked them, well, what made you go, oh? And they said, well, I don't like the way he draws faces. Everybody's just mad. Nobody's really expressing anything except frustration. I'd like to see more range on his characters' faces. That was enough to throw him off. And that jives very well with something Garrity said in her her article, which I'll link to in the show notes, about how kids, because these kids grew up on manga, they have been sort of grown accustomed to reading stories with a lot of expressiveness and a lot of deep character development, or at least rich characters, let me put it that way. Not as primary as traditional superhero characters. Okay, now I know superhero characters have been getting more sophisticated over the years, and we don't have to go into that now. But superhero storytelling style tends to be a little bit more on the rigid side than manga. And I want to do a full unboxing of manga in the near future on Art and Story. That's a little asterisk side note for later discussion. So it occurs to me, and I mean, this has been occurring to me for some time, the manga generation, this enormous audience of children, a lot of them girls, are entering their early 20s now. And they have no interest in what was mainstream, quote unquote, comics 20 years ago. And they're going to change a lot of things. And I think these changes are going to be for the better, for the one, because I do like manga quite a bit, but two, because it's enriching the overall art form. It's bringing more symbols into the United States, into the symbols into the American and North American comics. And that's nothing to be afraid of. Even if it means that there's a little less superhero stuff, I don't think it's replacing anything. I think it's just going to mean there's more of all of the stuff. And I don't understand why people get so defensive about this. And what's more is, I'm puzzled by an attitude that I find in some of my peers, where there's some discussion going around on the Twitters, people getting angry because of these paranormal teen romance books, right? So dating werewolves, Twilight, that kind of stuff. And it's funny. We joke about it. We poke fun. I mean, heck, even on the Comics Are Great podcast, we poked a little fun at Twilight for a while there. Because from an adult, grown man standpoint, it looks silly. But the people turn it into an argument over whether or not it's a genre. People were posting photos of a teen paranormal romance section in one of the major bookstore chains and saying, oh, the end is nigh. And it just seems, if you want to proclaim to the world that you are truly old and are ready to be frozen in your iceberg to be dissected by archaeologists 200 years from now, that's the way to do it, in my opinion, is to express fear, apprehension, and outright anger whenever something new happens. Look, I'm not saying I'm going out and buying Twilight. It's clearly not a story for me, but I feel no inclination to attack it and make fun of it in public because some weird kids like it. It's the weird kids who like something that becomes a movement, which through artists playing with it, investigate whether or not it has any staying power, any permanence. And if they do, then it becomes a standard of some sort. It becomes something for the ages. And there's no better way to make yourself into the old guy who said the Beatles' hair was too long than to make fun of something new just because young weird kids like it. That's at least how I feel about it. That's a very terse way of putting it. And that also reminds me, I mean, this is kind of related to this overall point about manga. And I'm not trying to get everybody out to go out and buy manga, but you know what? It may be worth looking into to see what makes it tick, because this new generation of creators are going to be using those symbols, and there's going to be a lot of works released in the next 10 years that all play with those symbols and build on those symbols. And while I'm not saying that we should all start drawing manga style because that's what's going to be hot, I mean, I think it's the hot period is over. I think now we're going to be in like this kind of pupa stage or this sort of metamorphosis period where now it gets fully assimilated into North American comics culture and gets adapted and reassessed through the eyes of these young artists who grew up reading manga. I'm not saying that we should go out and ape the style, but I am saying that rather than be haughty and dismissive about it, maybe we should stop and ask ourselves, what is it that is gripping the minds of these young people and making them so enraptured by it instead of the comics that we old guys, I'm really right now I'm speaking to old North American guys. I'm talking to like the 30 and up guys, maybe more like 33 and up. I don't know what the cutoffs are on these anyway. But I'll tell you from firsthand experience, as somebody who dove deep, well, not deep, but I played in the kiddie pool of manga for a few years and quickly learned how to adapt it to make it my own. And I learned an awful lot that I think is useful about comic storytelling through manga. And like I said, I'm really eager to do a series about that, about manga as in, here's a primer guide to manga, this is how it works, but more of, what are 20 things we can learn from manga? What are 20 storytelling things that I've learned or that, you know, somebody like Casey Van Heist has learned through playing with manga? Because I think it's ultimately myopic to get defensive and freaked out about statements like Shannon Garrity's article. Because from my personal experience, here's the bad news. Whether you like it or not, after reading the article, if you feel like, oh, this can't be true, I can say from my own personal experience that her assessment is absolutely true. I'm seeing it in kids in the classroom. I show them stuff that I think is brilliant work from the Bronze Age of Marvel Comics, Silver Age DC, and the kids they just don't like it. It's a taste thing. And a friend of mine, Sean Robert, BrandonInThe80s.com, you know, he kind of remarked, and I'm not attacking Sean here because he's not here to defend himself, but one of the things he said on Twitter was that he thought it was kind of a shame if kids didn't like Simonson anymore. And I'm like, and my sort of reaction to that is really, is it such a bad thing? I mean, granted, I want Simonson to go on making comics. I love his work and I wish him nothing but the greatest of success. But the cold hard fact is that tastes change. And if the tastes shift within a generation, there's nothing we can do about that. I can tell the kids about what makes Simonson's work great, and I did do that in the classroom, but I couldn't get them past that initial gut reaction of, I don't like the look of that. So the trick is I think the high road is not making a value judgment based on, I don't like the way that looks, but ask yourself, what is it that is communicating about it? Take what you want from that and move on. I'm not saying that you should be a fan of manga. I'm not saying you should be a fan of American comics. I'm just saying that they're all comics, after all. And if we take ourselves seriously as creators, then it's worth our time to investigate as many different styles as possible. Gosh, you know, that sounds like some kind of political statement of accepting all creeds and cultures. I don't want it to come across as being like, oh, go do your homework and investigate all styles or else lest you find yourself to be one of those dinosaurs. But I do think that a good litmus test for yourself as a cartoonist is to, when you hear yourself feeling a little bit of fear and apprehension based on somebody's assessments about the future of the industry, stop, consider. The good news is it looks like comics is going to go on long past our lifetimes, at least I hope so. And that was the real crisis. It was 15 years ago when it looked like it was going to go away in the United States. It really looked that way for a short time. And the fact that it's going to be around, it's going to mutate and grow and turn into all new, get all new symbols, all new language to it, is ultimately, that's got to be a good thing. We don't want this art form to be stagnant. And what's more is, I guess I could go into like a long thing about how American comics are already grabbing on to a lot of the things that work in manga. But I guess I can save that for another time. But anyway, yeah, it really disappoints me when people turn it into an us or them kind of argument when really it should be, is it good for comics? And I think it is. If there's more people making comics, more people reading comics, that's ultimately a good thing. Hands down, we can stop talking about the whole difference between the cultures of the youth and the old and the cultures between the East and the West. There's more comics being made. Hooray for comics. All right. Sorry, everybody. Oh, I made myself laugh with that one. So, okay, who am I? I'm Jersey Droz, jdroz.com, Jersey on the Twitters. Thank you very much for supporting us in this project. We really couldn't do it without you. Check out, if you haven't listened to it yet, there's a new episode of Art and Story Extreme up. And for the Supreme subscribers. And in there, Kevin and I talk a little bit about, I laid out some hints about Kids Read Comics 2011 that I'm really excited about because I've been spending the last, week working on nothing but Up Fair and Kids Read Comics stuff. And man, I almost did a Thunder Punch Daily about how bummed out I am that I haven't gotten to do very much drawing for myself. But who wants to listen to that, right? But the good news is that I've begun designing with my other co-organizers some really interesting things for KRC 2011 that I'm really looking forward to bringing to the show for discussion as we begin this investigation of this idea of reinventing the comics convention altogether. I think we're up to some really cool stuff. I'm super excited about it. So you can check out a quick preview of it there. Also, I posted a little video preview of what KRC 2011 might look like on my YouTube page. It's YouTube. Comics Are Great is the username. But anyway, neither here nor there. So, thanks once again, everybody. I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. Until then, remember, everybody.
In today's story, you saw how the Widgets were fooled by Evil Lyn's disguise. They learned that bad things can be made to look good, and why we should always be careful and question everything that doesn't seem right. But it works both ways, and that's why the saying, you can't judge a book by its cover, is so important. What it means is that appearances can be deceiving. And you shouldn't judge books or people by the way they look. It's what's inside that really counts.